Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 19. Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul spent much of his life as a missionary. Those of you who are familiar with Paul and his life, as a young man, he was trained under Gamaliel, a very knowledgeable man Paul became. He was well-educated. He was a Pharisee. He worked among the high-leading Jewish people. And as a young man, he was one that supervised and overseen the stoning of Stephen, when they killed Stephen with stones. And he was very aggressive in capturing and persecuting Christians. And then on his way to Damascus as a young man, God spoke to his heart, got a hold of him, and converted him, and his life was turned around. And the persecuting Paul became the preaching Paul. And he spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel and carrying the good news of Christ throughout all of their known world in that time. And he was very active in that. And while he traveled around preaching the gospel, often he would work on the side as a tent maker to provide his own personal needs. And we see examples of this in 1 Thessalonians 2:9 and in Acts 18:3 of how he worked as a tent maker to pay his own way. And this is, as we see this, he also, though, accepted financial support from certain churches. There were churches there, especially the Philippi church. And that's where we're at this morning in the book of Philippians. The church at Philippi was one of his most faithful and loyal supporters. They sent to him once and again, he said, to help him in the ministry. And so as we look at this chapter, we see this aspect of Paul taking support from mission-minded churches, probably the most clear portion of Scripture regarding his missionary support right here in Philippians chapter 4. So you follow along and think about that as I read, beginning with verse number 10, and we'll read down through verse number 19 as you follow along. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. But not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, you look at that verse, that one that's so often taken out of context. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul was really saying, I can endure all things through Christ. It doesn't matter whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry, whether I've got lots or whether I've got nothing. I can endure all things through Christ. Then verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I declared from when I departed from Macedonia, and that's where Philippi was, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But now I have all and abound. I am full. And having received of Epaphroditus, that was their preacher that came and gave him this money, things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Another verse that is often taken out of context, but you keep it in context and it changes the whole meaning of the way people apply that verse. So as we look at this passage, very interesting section here, Paul talks about how he is thanking the Philippian church for their support of his ministry. Paul had been traveling around preaching the gospel, and once and again, they had sent him funds and money and food and help to help care for his ministry, and Paul greatly appreciated that. As we examine what God says in the Scriptures about supporting missions, I want to point out three truths about supporting missions that ought to be a challenge to our hearts. The first thing I want to point out here is the need for giving is biblical. The need for giving is biblical. And as we look at this, we find, first of all, that we ought to support God's work. It's our duty as Christians to support God's work. God doesn't want us holding bake sales and bingo and other things like this. A lot of religious organizations do to try to bring in money. That's not God's plan. You don't find that in the Bible. In the Bible, God wants us to support His work through giving. And we see this began way back in the Old Testament. You look back in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27 and verse number 30, and there we read, "And all the tithes of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Now, what was a tithe? A tithe was 10% of what they got. So if they went out in the field and they harvested their grain and they got 100 kilo of grain, you know, I hope they get more than that, but if they got 100 kilo of grain, 10% of that was God's. 10% of that was God's. And God said, "It belongs to me." And so He taught the people way back in the beginning about this. Now, what did God say that they were to do that? Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 says, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenths of Israel in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, God was saying here the purpose of the tithe, what they were doing with that tithe, wasn't just to store it up and do nothing with it, but it was to use to pay the Levites. Now, the Levites, who were they? Well, the Levites were, remember there were 12 tribes of Israel? One of the tribes of Israel was the tribe of Levites, the Levites. And the Levites, God chose them to be the workers in the tabernacle or the temple. One portion of the Levites were the priests, but the rest of the Levites were just the helpers. The priests were the ones that were in charge of the tabernacle in those days, and later on the temple, but the Levites were those who helped the priests in their ministry. And God said, because they're busy about my work, He says, you give them the 10% of your crops so that they don't have to work and they can eat from what you've given them, and everybody will be satisfied and have their needs met. So God said that they were to give their 10% to the local congregation there of the Levites to be able to provide for them. Now, God said that giving a tithe was actually giving to Him. That's an important thing. You know, sometimes when we give our offerings, we might say, well, we're giving to the church. No, not technically. We're really supposed to be giving it to God. And as we give to God, our local church is the way that we can give to God. We bring our tithes to the local church, and we give them in our offering. But we read back in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in chapter 3 and verse number 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? But yet ye have robbed me." But they say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" God said, "In tithes and offerings." God says, "You're robbing me." And the people said, "What are you talking about? We're not robbing you." God says, "Yes, you are. You're keeping back my tithes and offerings that belong to me." So God was saying that it really belongs to me. It's mine. And if we don't give it, we're robbing from God. You know, sometimes we may not even think about that, but when we get our paycheck, to realize that 10% of that paycheck belongs to God. God gave us the strength to do the job. God gave us the wisdom to do the job. God gave us the ability. God gave us the job. And God says 10% of what I earn belongs to Him. And so it isn't a matter of, well, should I give some to God? No, God said it belongs to me. And if I don't give it to God, I'm robbing from God. And so that was what God taught them in the Old Testament there. And actually, another verse that goes a couple verses later there, God tells them that, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be me meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it." God said, if you will bring your tithes to the storehouse, the place where they stored it. Now, actually, in the tabernacle and in the temple, they had, well, especially the temple, they had a special room set aside to store the grain and the produce and the treasures that the people would bring to them through their tithes. And from that storehouse, then the Levites would get their livelihood. So the Levites could go to the temple or the tabernacle, and they could get what the tithe came in. It was for them to be able to live on. And God ordained that for them to be able to live on. Now, what about the New Testament? Well, in the New Testament, we find in Jesus' ministry, Jesus actually commended the tithing. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse number 42, Luke 11:42, But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe of mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, what did God say? Jesus was saying to them, you know, you tithe of all these herbs and little seeds. You know, they were fanatical about that. You know, they just take their little seeds and spread them all out. Nine for me, one for God, nine for me, one for God. I mean, they're very, very particular in their tithing of their produce. But God says, what about the things that are more important than that even? He said, I want you also to think about giving me of your love and judgment in doing what is right. He said, I don't want just your offering. He said, I want you. I want you to give yourself to me and to do what is right. But Jesus, in that, he said, don't leave the other undone. So Jesus said, God wants you to give him your love and your affection, but don't leave the other undone. The other what? The other tithing. He says, don't stop doing that. So he was commending that. God clearly states that pastors ought to be paid for their ministry. Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse number 18, we read, the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14 says, even so also hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Another one is in Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now when it says communicate unto him, it doesn't mean have a chat with him. It means share with him. Means help him out. He said, if you're being taught, you need to be given to them because they're teaching you. Now, in our congregation, our situation here, we're looking forward to the day when you will have a pastor that you pay and he's your pastor. Right now, I'm your pastor, but I'm actually a missionary pastor. All of my income for these last 27 years has come from the United States. And so this church hasn't been paying my income. Now, in the last few years, the church has been paying some of our utilities. But as far as my wages, I still get that from America. But the day is coming that your church, this church is going to have to be on their own. And you're going to have a pastor that you can pay and meet his needs and provide for him. And you ought not to starve the poor fella. He needs to have the food he needs to be able to meet his needs. And that means we're going to have to give. You know, when I was in Bible college, my professors would teach us. They said, listen, if you get a church and you have 10 faithful tithing families, then their 10% each would make 100%, so that would be enough to be able to provide for a pastor. And that's a good philosophy. But that means we have to have 10 solid, faithful families that are tithing. And that's a challenge. And so God tells us that there's a need there. Now, God does not give New Testament Christians a new method to replace tithing to support his work. You don't find anything in the New Testament that says, well, you know, now it's the New Testament, so no more tithing. Now we're just going to give whatever crosses your mind you can give. You know, sometimes people take verses in the New Testament about giving and they pull them out of context. We need to look at the context of those passages. Did you realize that most of the verses in the New Testament that talk about giving are talking about giving alms? Now, giving alms just means helping the poor. Most of them have to do with that. The ones in 2 Corinthians, there's two big chapters that are all about giving, but it's about helping the poor. They were collecting funds to be able to help the poor people back in Israel that had just gone through a famine or a hard time, and they were having a hard, difficult time, so let's take a collection to help those people out. That's giving of alms. Jesus talked about giving of alms in Matthew. The early chapters of Matthew there, he talked about giving alms to help the poor. That is very good. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But that is not what we're dealing with here. God did not say, you know, that you can just give whatever crosses your mind to be able to help your local church. I believe God still has the tithe in mind for supporting the local church. Otherwise, God would have said, well, you know, every third Friday, you know, I'm going to have a bingo and we're going to have a, you know, a garage sale and something else to try to raise some funds because, you know, the preacher's going to starve if we don't do something. That's not God's plan. That's not God's way. And so we don't see that in the New Testament. Every Christian ought to give a tithe of his or her to his or her local church. And the tithe belongs to God. It's not to be used for other forms of giving. There's nothing wrong with giving alms. There's nothing wrong with giving to the poor. It's nothing wrong with sharing with others that have needs. That's perfectly good. God commends that. But that's not our tithe. That's something else. That's something totally else. If you want to give to somebody else, go for it. But make sure you give God its tithe first. Because if we don't give God the tithe, we're stealing from God. Now, the second reason to give is that we ought to give to aid the struggling Christians. And I've already kind of got into that a little bit. You know, those many of the passages, and I challenge you to dig it out and look. You'll find what I'm telling you is true. Most of the passages in the New Testament that talk about giving are talking about helping poor people. Somebody that's in need, somebody that's gone through a famine, somebody that's gone through a difficult time. And that's, God commends that. In fact, if you do a quick search of the Bible text for alms, A-L-M-S, that's giving of helpful things, you're going to find a whole bunch of verses that talk about giving of alms. And God commends that. That's a good thing. Remember in the early church in Acts chapter 4, many of the Christians actually sold extra land that they had. You know, I've got an extra farm. I'm going to sell that farm and give to the church, and then they can help the poor people that are having a hard time. Some of the Christians, they were having a difficult time. Why? Because when they got saved in those days, some of their family said, "You trusted Christ your Savior? Wait, hang on. We're Jews. We're not Christians. You're out of the family. Get out of here. We don't want to know you." And they lost their families. They lost their homes. They lost their properties. And a lot of them were having a very difficult time. And so the Christians that had extra, they sold their extra, brought it, and gave it to the church. And then the church was able to distribute it to these people that were having a really hard time making a go of it. And so that was the giving of the alms type of thing. And Paul gathered collections for the saints in 2 Corinthians in chapters 8 and 9. He was collecting funds to take back to Israel to help the Christians there that were going through some very difficult times. Now, and God encourages us to help struggling believers. That's an important thing. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, we read, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the work weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So he said, we need to support the weak. That's an important thing. Romans 15:1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Right? He says, if we're strong, we've got enough, we need to bear the infirmities, the troubles, the problems of the weak and help them out. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things that are good, that he may give to him that needeth." Wow. God says, stop stealing, get a job, go to work, and when you get some extra, give to the people that are in need. So God again and again commends the giving to help other people that are struggling and are in need. And that's a very important thing to do. Giving to aid the struggling Christians is a fine thing to do. But it's not right to use our tithes to do that. Then we see also a third reason to give is to give to support missions. And that's what this chapter here in chapter 4 is really all about, of giving to missions. You know, the Lord's return has never been closer than today. And yet there are many in our world who have never heard the gospel. We need to send missionaries. We really do. People need to go out there to preach the gospel to these people that don't know. And we can be thankful. You know, what would it be like if we would have been one of those people in one of those isolated countries that never heard the gospel, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and we die without Christ and are not able to go to heaven because nobody told us? We live in a country where everybody can know if they want to. A lot of people don't want to know. You try to tell them, "Oh, go away, I don't want to hear that." And they turn it down, but they can hear it. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. We've got all the internet things and things like that that can be of help to us in evangelizing as well. But a lot of people truly don't want to hear it. And these missionaries can't go without finances. And Paul here was very grateful for the help that these Philippian Christians gave to him. Notice in verse number 10 again, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." He says, "You care for me." He was saying, you care enough about me to help me again. Thank you. That's a blessing. And he says, "Wherein ye were careful." All right. So that means the second careful means you had a desire. You saw that I had a need, but you didn't have any way of giving it to me. But now you sent your preacher, Epaphroditus, and he's come to me and he's brought this, whatever it was that they gave him. Paul said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And he's expressing his thanks. Down in verse number 14, he talks again about how they communicated unto his afflictions. They helped him with his troubles and problems. And then again in verse 15, he says that they communicated with him. And he says, no other church besides yours did this. You're the church that does it all the time. You've given me and concerning giving and receiving. He says, you're the one that has helped me. And he was commending them and thanking them and saying, this is a blessing. You've been such a blessing to me. And he's appreciative of that. Down in verse number 16, he says, even in Thessalonica. Now, if you picture in your mind, I should have put my map here tonight, this morning. But in Thessalonica, Philippi was, if you had a map like this, Philippi was over here and Thessalonica was just a little bit over further to the west. And he said when he got over to Thessalonica, he had problems over there and difficulties. And he said, even in Thessalonica, once and again, you sent unto my necessity. I had need. I couldn't work because of the problems there. And so you gave to me, and that was a blessing. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. Paul's saying, making it very clear. He says, listen, folks, I'm not writing to you to beg some more off of you. I'm not asking you for more gifts. But I'm commending you and thanking you. He says, verse number 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. He says, you gave me, and I've got enough now. And I appreciate that. Thank you very, very much for what you've done for me. And he calls it an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, God really blesses those who give like this. And then he ends it up there in verse number 19. And he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What was he saying? He says, because you gave to me, God will give to you what you need. And you know, we need to be careful. Don't pull verse 19 out of context and say, oh, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. No, he won't. Not unless you give like they did. That's not what the verse is saying. The verse isn't some lucky charm that you can pull out of there and say, God's going to supply all my needs. No, God's saying if you give to others and you give to the Lord's work, you give to support missions, you give to support God's work, God will meet your need. And that is a promise you can hang on. But if you don't give, the promise doesn't belong to you. All right? So keep it in context so we don't twist things around. Now, as we continue on here, in his letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul wrote to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 9, and he says, and when I was present with you and wanted, in other words, he said, I didn't have what I needed, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking in me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. See, the Corinthian church were kind of picking on Paul. They gave him a hard time sometimes. And Paul said, listen, I didn't come getting money out of you guys. You know that I didn't take your money. He said, when I had need and I couldn't work, the Philippian churches provided for me. They sent money to me and took care of me. But I didn't ask you for anything. So Paul was again saying that the support of missions was very important and very needful. Mission giving is very biblical. Very biblical. Now, as we look at the second truth this morning, we've looked at, first of all, that the need for giving is biblical. The second thing I want us to see here is that grace giving is from God. Grace giving is from God. Now, grace giving is giving above our tithe. It's giving above our tithe. Paul was not asking the Christians to give of their tithes to support missions and let their local church and their pastor struggle and go hungry. He wasn't asking that. Paul wasn't saying, feed me, don't worry about your own preacher. He wasn't saying that. They needed to take care of the local church with their tithes and offerings, but above that, they were giving gifts for missions, and that was what God was blessing here. Now, grace giving is giving beyond our tithe. I found this very interesting, but I think it's true, and you evaluate it in your own heart. Some of you wouldn't apply to, but you evaluate this. Here's what one man interestingly observed. He said, today, This is a modern quote. He said, today, Christians spend more money on dog food than on missions. And I can believe that. I can believe that. I mean, my dog, I buy some of the cheapest dog food I can find. It still costs a lot of money. Dogs are expensive. But a lot of people spend more on dog food than they do on missions. And, you know, God wants us to give to help with the mission needs. And God enables grace giving for missions. You know, when we use the phrase grace giving, why do we use that phrase? Well, it's basically based on the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 section there when it talks about God gave them grace to be able to give. That was giving to help the needs of others. And there's a sense in which mission giving is in giving to help the needs of others. It's helping the other preachers, but not necessarily just as an alms type of a giving. But grace giving is giving beyond our tithes and offerings to God to be able to support missions. Now, God's grace giving is God's divine enabling. We call it grace. Grace literally means divine enabling. It means divine enabling. You read the word grace in the Bible, and that's the idea of that word. The grace of God that brings salvation is the divine enabling that brings salvation. The grace of God that helps us during trials is the divine enabling that gets us through those trials. But grace giving is the divine enabling to help us be able to do something. We think, how could I possibly give more? I mean, the thought of even giving 10% makes me quiver. How could I possibly give more than that to be able to support missions? Well, grace giving comes into there and how God will help. And we've seen this take place even in our last year. It's a blessing in our congregation. Our church presently supports 4 missionaries. We support Benjamin and Lauren up in Papua New Guinea. We support Chris and Sarah in Papua New Guinea. We support Chris and Susie over in Romania. And we just started supporting James and Cindy Harrington. Now, we just sent out their checks for the year of 2021. And the total that we sent out was over $10,900. And the thing that is awesome, every cent of that came in through our grace giving through this church. If you've been involved in grace giving in the last year and a half, you've been had a part in that $10,000+ that is sent out to missions. That is a blessing. It is through grace giving. That wasn't our tithes and offerings. Our tithes and offerings of our church are still where they should be. Well, where they have been. Maybe not where they should be, but where they have been. All right? But the grace giving is grown, and it's a blessing, and it's an encouragement. And so we praise God for that, and if you've been involved in that, God bless you. That is a blessing to know that this has happened. Now, the third truth I want us to see this morning is that the blessing of grace giving is real. There's real blessings to this, to giving to God. You know, we help to advance the gospel when we get involved in giving to missions. Paul was not begging for support. We saw that back there in verses 11 to 13. He said, I've learned to be content. Paul said, I'll do with what I got. If I don't have much, I'll just get along with what I got. And sometimes Paul probably went hungry for a while. It was difficult at times. But he said, I've learned that whether I've got almost nothing, I can get along with that. Or if I've got an abundance, praise God, I can get along with that too. And he said, I've learned to be both of these. And he said, I've learned to be content. And he says, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will take care of me. Well, Paul was able to spend more time preaching the gospel when churches like the Philippian church supported his ministry. Instead of having to go out and make tents for a living to put some food on the table, Paul was able to preach the gospel. He didn't need to go out and do that because he was able to. He already had the support that came from the Philippian church and others that had helped him and supported his ministry. And so that was a great blessing to him. We saw that back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 9. Paul said that, you know, that the churches of Macedonia sent him and cared for him and met the needs, and it was a blessing. Now, we become partakers of the harvest when we give. You know, that is a wonderful thing. Most of you will probably never ever visit Papua New Guinea or Romania or Mauritius. And yet we can have a part in reaching people for Christ way up there in the mountains of Papua New Guinea or way over there in the remote parts of Romania or on the island of Mauritius. We can have a part in their ministry by giving. We can have a part of the harvest because of that. It's interesting, over in the book of 3 John, the Apostle John commended a man named Gaius. And he commended him for giving to the aid traveling missionary preachers. Listen to the words that he said. John writing to Gaius. Beloved, thou knowest faithfully whatsoever thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. He said, if we help those who come our way and send them on their way with some funds and some help and some encouragement, he said, we are fellow helpers to the truth. That means you can have a part in reaching some of those people there in Papua New Guinea by giving. You can have a part in reaching people in Romania or in Mauritius by giving. And getting involved means I had a part in some souls coming to Christ. Benjamin just recently told us of the large number of people in the 10 years they've been there that had come to Christ there in that village of Terracavi in Papua New Guinea. And if you give to missions through our local church, you have had a part in reaching those souls for Christ there in Terracavi. And someday we get to heaven, and they're there with us. I have an idea they're going to come up and give you a big hug and say, thank you for the part you had in reaching me for Christ. See, God wants us to get involved. God says we can be a part, and it'll be a blessing. Paul assured the Philippian believers that their gifts to him produced fruit to their account. Look at verse 17 again of our text. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. He said, if you give to me and help me in my ministry, it's going to produce fruit that will go on your account. God's going to say, well done, you helped that missionary to reach those souls for Christ. And God's going to take into account all of those things that we do. God would reward them for their part in his ministry. Now, we receive God's blessings when we give. No question about it. Paul also assured them that their support was a sweet-smelling sacrifice, acceptable and well-pleasing to God. We saw that in verse 18. It pleases God. To think of that, if I give money to missions, God looks at that and says, that pleases my heart. What a wonderful thing to do, to have God say, I am pleased that you gave to support my work and my missionaries in their ministry. God is pleased. He also promised, as we saw in verse 19, to bless those that gave. God says, you give, I'll meet your needs. You know, one of the greatest reasons people hesitate to give is they say, if I gave, I wouldn't have enough to pay my own bills. Well, sometimes we need to cut back on our bills, all right? That's a possibility. Some people just plain overspend and don't think before they stick out the card, all right? But God said, I will meet your need. I will provide for you. You're not going to go hungry. And you know, one of the things that is a blessing, I can tell you that God will always be faithful because God has always been faithful to me. And several of you could say the same thing. You could say, as I give to God, God always meets my need. God always provides. I've never gone hungry. I've never missed a meal. God's always met the need. And you know, if you don't believe that, ask some of these other Christians in our congregation. Say, do you regularly give like that? Yeah, I do. All right, does God meet your needs? He sure does. God always does when we do what is right. And God will bless if we do His work His way. So, this morning, if you've not been giving a tithe to God, 10% of your income, I challenge you to begin. Say, oh, Pastor, that seems so hard. How could I do that? Trust God. God said, I'll meet your need if you'll give to me. I will meet your need. God promises. And God has always been faithful to me, and He's always been faithful to many of others of you here that give. So if you've not stepped out and done that, I challenge you to do that. God will meet your needs. If you have been involved in the grace-giving missions, rejoice. Rejoice to think that we were able to support our missionaries all that money this year, all from our grace-giving, and God looks down with a great big smile and said, thank you, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And we've been able to help those missionaries and encourage them. We have a part in reaching those souls for Christ. Two different villages up in Papua New Guinea. A couple of different villages there in Romania where the Crockett's are working. And then over there in Mauritius as the Harrington's are preparing to go there. We have a part in that. And so right now, even if I understand it right, Brother Harrington is still ministering there in Mauritius through the internet, even though he's not able to be there in person. I know he was while Brother Surrett was still alive, and I think he's probably still doing that now, but ministering there to try to reach others. So we have a part in all of that. But if you've not been part of grace given to missions, I encourage you to get involved today.